6. "Blaine, what's that?" Jake asked, but he already knew. Blaine laughed, but made no other reply. The purple vapor drifted from gratings in the sidewalk and the smashed windows of deserted buildings, but most of it seemed to be coming from manholes, like the one Gasher had used to get into the tunnels below the streets. Their iron covers had been blown clear by the explosion they had felt as they were boarding the Mono. They watched in silent horror as the bruise-colored gas crept down the avenues and spread into the debris-littered side streets. It drove those inhabitants of Ludd still interested in survival before it like cattle. Most were pubes, judging from their scarves, but Jay could see a few splashes of bright yellow as well. Old animosities had been forgotten now that the end was finally upon them. The purple cloud began to catch up with the stragglers, mostly old people who were unable to run. They fell down, clawing at their throats and screaming soundlessly the instant the gas touched them. Jake saw an agonized face staring up at him in disbelief as they passed over, saw the eye sockets suddenly fill up with blood, and closed his eyes. Ahead, the monorail track disappeared into the oncoming purple fog. Eddie winced and held his breath as they plunged in, but of course it parted around them, and no whiff of the death engulfing the city came to them. Looking into the streets below was like looking through a stained glass window into hell. Susanna put her face against his chest. "Make the walls come back, Blaine," Eddie said. "We don't want to see that." Blaine made no reply, and the transparency around and below them remained. The cloud was already disintegrating into ragged purple streamers. Beyond it, the buildings of the city grew smaller and closer together. The streets of this section were tangled alleyways, seemingly without order or coherence. In some places, whole blocks appeared to have burned flat, and a long time ago, for the plains were reclaiming these areas, burying the rubble in the grasses which would someday swallow all of Ludd. "The way the jungle swallowed the great civilizations of the Incas and Mayas," Eddie thought. "The wheel of Ka turns, and the world moves on." Beyond the slums, that, Eddie felt sure, was what they had been even before the evil days came, was a gleaming wall. Blaine was moving slowly in that direction. They could see a deep, square notch cut in the white stone. The monorail track passed through it. "Look toward the front of the cabin, please," Blaine invited. They did, and the forward wall reappeared, a blue upholstered circle that seemed to float in empty space. It was unmarked by a door. If there was a way to get into the operator's room from the Barony cabin, Eddie couldn't see it. As they watched, a rectangular area of this front wall darkened, going from blue to violet to black. A moment later, a bright red line appeared on the rectangle, squiggling across its surface. Violet dots appeared at irregular intervals along the line, and even before names appeared beside the dots, Eddie realized he was looking at a route map, one not much different from those which were mounted in New York subway stations and on the trains themselves. A flashing green dot appeared at Ludd, which was Blaine's base of operations as well as his terminating point. "You are looking at our route of travel. Although there are some twists and turns along the Bunny Trail, you will note that our course keeps firmly to the southwest, along the path of the beam. The total distance is just over 8,000 wheels, or 7,000 miles, if you prefer that unit of measure. It was once much less, but that was before all temporal synapses began to melt down."
"What do you mean, temporal synapses?" Susanna asked.
Blaine laughed his nasty laugh, but did not answer her question. "At my top speed, we will reach the terminating point of my run in 8 hours and 45 minutes.
800+ miles an hour over the ground," Susanna said. Her voice was soft with awe. "Jesus, God."
"I am, of course, making the assumption that all trackage along my route remains intact. It has been 9 years and 5 months since I've bothered to make the run, so I can't say for sure.